Hello, welcome to the Even Worse Idea of All Time podcast. I'll do a bit of a spiel here, as I like to do every week. Jesus Christ,
Alistair. Genuine. Oh, for fuck's sake.
This is a podcast in which we watch and review a film each week.
Bare Mums.
For a year. The film is the same film each week.
Yeah.
Bare Mums 2. My name's Jamie.
Oliver.
Alistair.
This is the seventh episode, and that therefore it is the seventh time I've seen Bad Mums 2.
Bad Mums 2.
And it's incredible, because when you listen to the worst editor of all time, as everyone should, but like you think, you know, the first 10, not that hard, but actually by the seventh watch, it's getting pretty old.
Yeah, we've had a bit of an aid of alcohol this week. You can actually hear Oliver sipping on a beer.
Hear a bit of that natural warm Carlsberg vibe. I think
only the best for us.
So it was a hard watch, but again, I think the HD copy we've had is really a nice time. The sound particularly is much crisper, and I think we're used to it now. Last week it felt like all the jokes were dying because there was no audience to laugh at them.
Yeah,
but this time it feels like it feels warm and familiar, like a cow's tongue across the face.
What I was gonna say,
rough but warm.
That's what I was gonna say. Just about the reason we're drinking is because at the flat that we record this podcast there's a bit of a flat party going on tonight.
Of course.
The format of this episode will be a bit different. We're going to, every sort of, 45 minutes to an hour, we'll record, we're recording this episode in chunks, and there'll be sort of separate segments basically going throughout the night.
It's a coping mechanism, so we don't have to talk about the film in one big, disgusting chunk.
So, we'll talk for a little bit each time, and, you'll get to listen to us.
This is the most weapons hot you'll hear us.
We will degrade. Probably get increasingly intoxicated throughout the night, so
but there'll be different
for you.
Atmospheres, perhaps there'll be some. I mean, there are other people around us, so they'll creep their way in.
Get some random drunkards in on the record.
If they go, Mike, I'll be furious. The contract is very specific. It's just the three of us. I enjoyed this watch, but
did
I think
you?
I didn't.
Yeah,
really?
I didn't at all.
I had fun. I wasn't paying a lot.
Not enjoy it. I kind of wasn't engaged with the film.
There was no yucky feeling in me. That's the real way I gauge it. It wasn't a fun experience where I was focused, but I didn't feel this fucking dread throughout.
This felt the most unfocused of any of the watches.
Yeah,
we were moving around so much, we were lying all over each other.
And Alistair, who in several episodes you may have heard abusing us for not paying attention to the film, this time he was off the fucking mat. He was the worst of us by far. And I just want you to remember that for the next time you want to lay into us. It's fine, it's fine to...
Hey, I'll remember it and then ignore it completely.
that's the foundations of a good relationship, isn't it?
This will go well. I won't remember any of it because there's already been a few drinks on board.
So the key thing today is that we had a bit of... I wouldn't say fan mail necessarily. They might hate us. They haven't liked our Facebook page, but they've sent us a message.
Don't call them out.
We're not going to say their name or anything.
Actually, we probably shouldn't say their name because they haven't addressed whether or not they want their name read on.
Follow friend zone protocol.
The first thing I sort of want to run through the Christmas tree thing, because we did raise the question about it, and there might be people out there who wonder. This is incredibly in depth. So it's just, I know this was from a few weeks ago, but I wanted to answer your questions about drinking Christmas tree water. I have not watched the movie, but saw said scene in a trailer. The tree would be like a cut flower situation where the base is trimmed and then put into a holder where the bottom is a basin for water. Unless these people are crazy and filling the water to the brim, it is unlikely the kid would be able to get much or any of the water without some sort of straw. The branches get in the way and kids' heads are not built for that sort of thing. So we always had to use a funnel / hose device to fill the basin throughout the season. Now that's an incredibly sort of in-depth way of saying it. It sounds like a massive Christmas tree they've got going on.
Yeah.
Because we had Christmas trees that were real, but there was no funnels or hoses needed. It was just in some sort of soil. Not a lot of water in there, but, if that chimes a familiar note with someone out there, then, get in touch with each other. We'll facilitate.
I loved getting this message. It really feels like someone's out there when they actually, let you know.
And so specifically engage with stuff that we've said.
Yeah, so, but I mean, you don't have to, if there's anyone listening, as we say, if there's anyone listening out there, well, we know there are some people, but you don't have to have anything specific to say, I guess. Just a message would be lovely.
Just say hi.
Just another someone else out there, on the end of the line.
It is
would be
genuinely
great.
Heartwarming. And there was also,
What?
Yeah, let's do good audio content, signalling and miming. The thing that also was requested is a humble request for a more thorough description of the food fight scene, because this particular person engaged in food fights as a family, and we thought, this isn't the sort of thing that happens in real life. Apparently, it is. Now, the food fight here, as asked, what happens in the food fight here?
Okay. It's part of the opening montage of the film, Mila Kunis and her children.
First one, yeah, and it's her kind of talking about Christmas, saying how it's stressful, but she's also kind of saying how it's like a nice family time, and we get this kind of like golden what's the word?
That was us during the watch, but on the screen,
nice, nice of you to drop that in.
Sort of gingerbread.
Yeah. They're making gingerbread, and they're just like they're sprinkling the
icing sugar or flour.
Yeah, no.
It could be pure cocaine.
It could be.
It's a white substance.
I think there's a lot of things in this film can be tied back to drugs quite strongly. Maybe not get into that this watch.
So I think it's the, you know, the female child, if we're being really specific, that starts.
I think you'll find her name's Jane.
I thought it was Shane. When she starts it, but the key is that we don't actually see the escalation. We don't see why it starts.
Yeah,
I think that's the key.
It's just them kind of loosely tossing icing.
I think it's
just
a really short show that Mila Kunis has this sort of, you know, fun loving relationship with her children.
But
it's a really short sequence.
My main problem with it is that firstly, Mila uses her child as a human shield, which I'm not on board with. One of two instances in the film where that happens.
Yeah.
Secondly, as I was trying to say, it's got this kind of golden-y coloured filter over it, where it's
very
just
warm glow.
Yeah, and it's just so strongly kind of forcing the idea of this being like, oh, this is a wholesome, fun, like, wonderful time.
But maybe it is, as this
sure it is,
writer in, you know, implies.
I just don't like that it feels forced on us in that way. I want a bit more ambiguity from the filmmakers here.
Are they enjoying this or not? Like, maybe a sinister undertone. Just very subtle, though. We will see you in 45 minutes or so. Well, no, we'll see you instantly, but, you know, we'll be...
For us, time
is relative, isn't it? See you fuckers later.
Hey, welcome back. It's been about an hour since we last checked in.
We don't need.
Things aren't really in full swing yet. There are plenty of people here at the party, but...
I'm not certain that more will arrive, but I hope they do.
Oh, look, the speaker was not charged by some blundering imbecile.
Yep, that was you, Oliver.
So you can't get the sound, the ambience,
baby.
But trust us, there are people here. We are not just sitting in a dark room pretending there's a party going
mental.
On.
Okay, well, I just want to make it clear, because... There is actually a party going.
We've got to make that clear. There's definitely a party going.
There's not enough of a strong vibe at the party.
So it's almost like it's not real. But we assure you it's real.
No, because now you're making it sound like it's not real.
What do you mean? I'm saying it's real. How does it make it sound like
your inflection's making it sound real? I want to make it very clear. There's a party going on at this flat.
It's not a swinging party.
I've been very clear about the party that is definitely going on right now. Look, I don't know your problem, but I also don't know my problem with Ty Swindell. Every time I see him on screen, I'm filled with...
He's not an engaging character at all.
But
he's got nothing going on.
The thing for me is that I'm filled with rage about his body. Like, I'm not attracted to him, so I get angry about that. And that feels like something that's a problem within me.
Yeah, that's definitely... Yeah.
And
he can't do anything about that.
I hope to work. I think it's because of his confidence. I don't... Like
he's not that he's a very humble man though, isn't he?
He whips his clothes right off and strides in.
Yeah, but that's only when he's doing his stripping acts.
Humility is his primary trait. He seems
I think I'm jealous of him for that very thing. He's just so flagrant about being nude. It's like this man has no shame, and I want to be him, but I don't because he's such a prat.
My main problem with Ty Swindell is A, that as a character, he really has nothing going for him aside from the fact that he likes Carla for some reason and strips. That's basically it. And B, the fact that he just turns up at Mila Kunis' house and says... he's always like, oh, how did you find me? He's like, oh, I looked for you.
That's pretty good, though.
Not a good reason.
Yeah, but that's the joke, I think. I don't think it's a joke.
It's not played like a joke.
It's not played like a joke, but how could that possibly not be a joke?
Not that exactly. That'd be great. But
I'd love that. I might make an edit of the film where literally every joke is telegraphed by Oliver going.
Get rid of laugh tracks. You just need Oliver going.
With that exact record I just did.
I will actually do that.
Okay, that's a waste of time. But it's a nice concept.
That's a waste of time. Oliver watching the same fucking movie once a week for a year. I think the concept of wasting time is completely out of the fucking window.
I was really into it tonight. I don't know, the absurdity is not kicking in tonight. It seems like this is what we do now. Yeah. It's not a day job exactly, but it's like regular. Like we're clocking on, chuck the film on. It's normal.
Yeah, there is an element of normality. And people we know come over, they go, you know, hey, how's the project going? You know, what are you up to now? And you go, 7. And they go, oh, how's that going?
That's more than one.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and there's a bit of...
Someone asked us tonight. It's like, oh, how many more have you got? Like another 7?
Another 5, they said. They're like, they'll watch it 12 times.
I turned to the man and I said, we've got another 46.
Which seems
insane. And I said 45.
Yeah, we actually had 45.
But he did actually, he made that same error at the time.
Yeah, this man attending the party didn't quite understand the concept fully, I don't think. He said, oh, what, is there another 5 or 10? I said, no.
Batman?
We're watching it once a week for a year.
Peter Blake.
Peter Blake, for any of you out there, was a Kiwi sailing legend
who was sadly
killed by pirates in the late 90s or early 2000s.
Oh, I think we're looking at a 2001 day.
Generally not something you joke about, but, you know.
But Oliver went there.
It survived.
For better or worse.
This
almost
man,
certainly worse.
This man at the party also, he entered the room. We were finishing that. No, I want to talk
we'll
about
We'll call
this.
Him Peter Blake if we need... Yeah. Just, yeah. Oh, you don't think you know his name, do you?
He might be able to hear us. He's actually outside.
Yeah, well, he might be lurking. I'll go and look. There are definitely people here. I'm going to go look for
him. He walked in, saw that we were watching Bad Mums 2 and said, oh, is this part of your new podcast? And we said, yes. He said, I didn't listen to the last one, which was a podcast where we reviewed dog films. And he said, and I probably won't listen to this one. So that was just a great...
I said, fair enough.
Great vote of confidence from that guy. Yeah, but you don't listen to the Malister, but that's because you're on it.
Yeah, well...
This was a man coming in and telling us that he did not care for our creative endeavours.
Hey, look, he's a very...
Oliver, what are you doing over there?
I'm just talking to the guy. All right, see you later. See ya. All right, yeah. He's a good guy.
You're a weird guy, Oliver, and I don't like you.
I'm actually offended by that, because it was sort of a brutal watch, I think.
Yeah. The abuse... Me and you were definitely at each other's throats.
But then you were both at my throats, because there's one segment
at
in
your
the
throats.
Film...
Oh,
at my
look.
Throat. There's one segment in the film where one of Mila Kunis's kids gets spoken to by Christine Baranski, and she said, well, Alistair thought she referred to the young girl as Shane, and they're like, oh, that's a, did she just call the kid Shane? It's an interesting name for a young girl. So then I went on IMDb and looked up, and I said, no, her name's actually Jane.
And yeah, both and Oliver, we're laying this out now. You have no case. You have no leg to stand on.
Not at all. Look, my problem with this is that obviously, I knew she couldn't be called Shane. That would be...
Well, she could be.
Know. Okay, she could be, but it would be weird. It would be an odd choice from the director.
Oh, you know.
But it's something that I had to look out for next watch. It was something that kind of would draw me back to the film. But now, I know she's called Jane because someone looked it up on the fucking internet. Oh, great. That's an interesting
way to
find things
Jane,
out.
Jane, what a good thing to know, Jamie. That's some great
this
information.
Is fucking,
I'm so glad.
No, this is so stupid because...
There would have been tension and intrigue.
There wouldn't have been tension and intrigue.
You would have
completely forgotten about it.
No, we fucking
and then you would it would have come
a
on.
A girl called Shane.
It would have come on, and you would have said, "Oh wow, it's not Shane." It's well, first of all, you would have.
Yeah,
but then if you found it, it's Jane.
Yeah.
Great, what a great thing. Let's talk about that on the podcast.
Don't fucking mischaracterize me. I would say what a great thing, and I would be so sincere, like never before.
Well, I'm going to call it there. We'll see you in the next fucking segment.
Yeah.
Hey, welcome back. This is... what's going on? Someone's trying
There's
to...
There's immediate...
Someone is interrupting.
They're ruining the vibe.
Oh,
out.
My God.
Out you go.
No, that's...
We're recording our podcast.
Yeah. We're fucking raw!
Oh,
featuring
fuck.
Sam.
We are all up inside each other.
Hang on, actually.
This is the problem with...
with party records, you just get these fucking...
That was a character voice from Alistair.
He hasn't seen the film 7 times. What's he doing?
You know
here?
Who has?
Us. I've seen it 7 times.
I don't like
times,
that. So. Arguably.
Tell you what, 7 times too many.
I just paint. What we're doing is we're lying down.
Yeah.
Real close proximity. It feels
feels so good.
It's such a good vibe. I'm actually loving this. Can we not move? We've taken ourselves off to one of the
If we don't move, I will fall asleep quite soon.
Okay. We've taken ourselves off to one of the flatmates' rooms to record this segment. And we're lying on his bed, and we're really close to each other, and it's
I should stress that this bed doesn't belong to me. It's just a random flatmate.
None of us own this bed.
No, but that's what makes it so good. We're sitting here. It's totally dark in this room. We're all embracing each other.
Am I holding your hand or Oliver's?
It's you holding my hand.
Oh, that's nice.
This is my
Did I ever tell you about the time I created a homunculus from the cells in my ear?
No, but please do.
What?
His name is Shamble Grinkin. And I created him because
that could be the name of a homunculus in a piece of absurdist literature.
Yeah,
I love it.
No, but this is real as shit. So it was because my marriage was coming up to a man called Salamander, and it didn't go down too well.
Obviously.
But it was a nice day anyway, and I created Shamble so that he could sing some Coldplay songs at the wedding.
Oh yeah,
a bit of yellow.
Chris Martin just bills far too much these days.
Oh look, what they know is romance. And, you know, Chris Martin apparently seducing much younger women. But the thing is, he didn't know these songs. All he knew was Leonard Cohen songs in Spanish. I programmed him wrong. So, it was a lovely day. It was a good vibe because Leonard Cohen songs are legendary. But I did have to put a swift bullet through his head right after the festivities.
Homunculus, by their nature, you know, not long lasting.
Look, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I don't know what a homunculus is.
Okay, a homunculus is like a very small man.
I thought that's what it was, but at the same time,
an artificial man.
I don't know if they're confused.
I mean, of course they're real. I've just talked to you about Shamble Grinkin, the most faithful man for a good 24 hours at least. It's just I fear right now that he's going to come back and haunt me up good.
Homunculus aren't like that. They understand the nature of immediate mortality. They're like mayflies.
That's true, but I didn't kill him early though. But when he was born, he said, "I'll haunt you up a storm."
That's sort of why I feel like there's a chance
he might haunt me up a storm.
This is such a
Does this relate in any way to Bad Moms 2, A Bad Mom's Christmas?
Absolutely not.
Glad thing you asked.
What a bizarre route to go now.
I think that Cheryl Hines might be a homunculus. But like in a human suit.
That makes it. Look, I'm sure she's a lovely person. But she does have a really crazy face.
Crazy Face is a play.
Hey, good on you.
By Clive Barker.
Wait,
no.
Cheryl Hines is
Clive Jericho.
Is Sandy, right?
Who's that? She's the freaky mother.
No, she does have crazy eyes. Like I could I buy her as a mother who would buy a house.
But I don't think she normally does. Like I watched a few clips from what's that fucking show?
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah. And she looks entirely different actually. For the 2017 series, she looks different. Like I don't think what she's done here is good. I think she created a poor character, but I think she's really working to create something.
I like her character in this film.
Okay,
do you genuinely like it in Bad Moms?
I like Sandy as a character.
I hate it.
I don't like her as a character. She makes
it freaks me the fuck out.
That's the point, isn't it? If she's making you uncomfortable, then that's not a joke.
Okay, look, can I...
I think we can all agree that cancer's not a joke.
Look, I don't like her character. Her character makes me uncomfortable, and she's...
That's the idea,
not good.
Man. That's but the idea. I think she's trying to communicate.
Yeah, no, exactly. She plays that character very well, but I don't like that character.
Okay. I like what she's doing. I think she's got some good gags. I think she commits to the role.
Oh, yeah. Yep, I'll agree with all of that.
One time, I was walking up my street in Eastbourne...
Hey, do you... I think...
...with my grandparents, and we were about to get in the gate, and this man of about sort of 25 came up to me. I was about 10 at the time, and he said, "Can I touch your weenus?" And I said... "What?" And he said, "Can I touch your weenus?" And I didn't answer, but he then went and touched my, I guess it's just the elbow, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, the weenus is like the skin on your elbow.
It's a weird thing to do.
It sounds like penis.
I know.
But also, as someone who's not too far off 25, can't imagine going up to
any
child and say, "Hey, can I touch your weenus?"
Especially fucking good gag, bro. It terrified the shit out of me.
Especially with their grandparents. What are you doing? You're just asking to be locked up.
Maybe they paid him off and they're just character building.
Maybe.
One of them now dead, so get fucked.
That's life, though.
No, he's a good guy.
Yeah, we'll all die.
Well, that's death, more realistically.
But that is life.
But I mean, death is a part of life, isn't it? We all got to go sometime.
Life
man.
Is not a part of yeah, death, yeah. though. That's the whole. That's the key thing.
No, that's yeah, yeah.
And if
you're
watched
not wrong.
Bad Moms 2 52 times before then I'll consider it a life.
Today, I'm really keen about the concept. I think we should stop this. Maybe this portion.
This has been. I think you know the effects of the alcohol have definitely taken.
No. I'm just reminiscing. Well,
I haven't had much food today, so.
I would really like some food right now.
I offered him an apple.
Should we go for some food?
I reckon we should go get some
food. Where are you going to go?
Let's go get some food.
Where from? Where?
I don't know. I could split a pizza with you if you want.
They won't
yeah,
be open, will it?
I could split a pizza. Surely they're open.
Yeah.
Domino's pizza?
Oh,
it's a Friday. It's a bloody institution.
Anyway.
We'll check in with you soon, folks.
Oh, you spam.
Hey, welcome back. We just thought we'd do it. Oh, that's a bus going by. You know, we're out in the streets of Wellington, New Zealand, the capital city. We've just gone down to buy some pizza. We're quite hungry. I thought, you know, that this is a change in vibe, a change in location. We might as well record a little segment. I think Alistair's eating his pizza, so he's not too keen to speak. I think all of us probably.
Yeah, it might look like we're on a sort of conference call. I'm just noticing there's someone quite near to us. What would they think of us?
I don't care what they think of us. You know?
You often seem to most.
I do care about public opinion.
But just not at this particular moment.
Not at this particular moment. I've had a few drinks. I've got some pizza.
Because we're doing everything's isn't okay. Normal.
It's certainly not normal, no. This is not a normal thing to be doing.
Demi, what I want to know is your favourite part of Bad Moms 2.
My shining light this week, Oliver, came pretty late in the game because I really couldn't think of anything. There was one bit in the credits where Wanda Sykes, the comedian who plays the psychiatrist, who we've talked about before, there's a car coming. Better cross the road quickly. That car is really trying to hit us.
Oh, you nearly heard us die. That would be an incredible
imagine
record.
That.
There'd be
cool.
No one to put it up.
They'd find my phone and find it still recording. But there's just so the end credits of the film, all the cast get together and they do a bit of a dance. And Wanda Sykes, she comes on. She's not on any of the other. She's not part of the ensemble. She just comes in for her one little dance move. She gets out a chair. She's got a really grim look on her face. She looks angry. She flips the chair and she does some sort of gun motions with her hands. And it just tickled me. I thought it was a funny little segment in the credits. You know, she. everyone else is relatively happy to dance. Oh, we're crossing. Cool.
So what if. It was a red light.
We're crossing the road at a red light.
That's a Wellington thing, I think. People from out of town come in, to go to university there, and they are shocked by the amount of sort of jaywalking, you might call it. But
the jaywalking capital of New Zealand.
There are some quite.
Mm-hmm. We're taking another one. Motioning us across the road again.
Oh,
look, that was my shining light. Just Wanda Sykes' expression as she danced in the credits.
So yes, you sound thrilled about it, but no, it was a good expression. So we'll see you later.
Hey, welcome back. We're still here. It's gone off, guys. Can you hear that?
Well, I can hear the dulcet tones of one Jason Derulo.
Yeah, he's good. He's a good guy.
So, my shining light in the film this week, and for once, it wasn't a gag that made me laugh. It was actually a bit that I find profoundly unfunny.
Right.
Which is during montage 2, I believe, when they're rampaging through the mall, and they're in like a massage kind of shop, like you know those kind of handheld massages with like the balls on the end.
Yeah, I know the ones.
You know the ones. And you hold them on your back, but bloody Carla, being the joker that she is, says,
Catherine Hahn's character,
Catherine
correct?
Catherine Hahn. Yeah, that's right. She says, "Hey, which one would be best on my vagina?" And
good time for the music to stop there.
It's a it's not a good gag necessarily, but my
it's a very bad gag.
My shining light is old
Kristen Bell.
Kristen Bell's reaction, Kiki's reaction, because she gives a laugh, which I just think is kind of very genuine, of like a friend watching another friend do something like dumb and embarrassing. It's a kind of like, I'm embarrassed for you, but also this is quite funny, and also, you know, like, I'm not the one in this situation. It's like, oh, I don't know, it just conveys a lot, and I think she does a really good job with that reaction. So that was a bit of the film which stood out to me as being quite genuinely quite good.
Okay, there's a man near us shouting very loudly, so
a lot of angry breakup songs don't navigate the tension between saying they don't don't care, but caring enough to sing a song about their ex. But this one does it quite well in that there's justification. You know, this guy's trying to get back in contact with her, and she's like, well, I've got to fucking respond to this. Ignoring to that would be weak, because this fucker needs to know that I do not give a fuck.
Yeah, Oliver's talking about the song in the background that's playing right now, so which this is Dua Lipa's I Don't Give a Fuck.
The current single by...
Hey, Oliver, what was your shining light this
right,
week, man?
Right, so Ellis is on the floor with his eyes shut. This is going great guns. Oh, we don't need him. So I liked the bit in the stripping bit, which I hate usually. Catherine Hahn says, he's the one, in reference to Tyson Lindell. Poor judgment, and she barely knows him. Yeah. But that's familiar to me, why I enjoyed it, because I often say that about...
I do too.
About any number of people. It's a nice, and it's semi-ironic, but it's also a genuine, like...
Any person that you have some sort of vague crush on or interest in, you're like, she's the one.
Yeah, but you got to commit. And I like that.
That's what makes it fun.
She's so genuine about it. There is no sort of wave of this disgusting veneer of irony that we might do. Like, you know, I say it knowing that statistically they're probably not the one. And, you know, as it's panned out, I don't know about my chances. But my current one is a tree called Tane Mahuta. I've given up on the sentient
humans. This is really off the rails.
No, we've got to tell them. We're cultural ambassadors.
There's a massive tree in New Zealand.
What type of tree?
This is as good a time as any to talk about it. It's a mighty kauri tree.
Ooh.
And it's got a name. It's called Tane Mahuta. And it's a huge tree. It's the biggest tree in New Zealand.
What I quite like about it is that you sent a lot of photos through to the group chat we do on Facebook of Tane Mahuta, because we're going through a lovely phase. It's so big.
It's just a lovely tree.
And so noble.
Hell of a tree.
I'd like to give it a kiss. But it looks different in every photo. It's beautiful in every light from every angle. If you get yourself to the North Island of New Zealand, please
go and see Tane Mahuta. Tell him we sent you. Welcome back. The mood is really, really quite low here. I think, not in a bad way.
It's quiet and down. Most people. It was never a raging party.
No.
It never really intended to be.
It's sort of a venue that, you know, you split up, you go into different rooms. It's generally a fairly calm time.
I don't know. I think just, you know, Friday, there are, you know, quite a few people have work tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, I do, actually.
I do. One of my flatmates does.
But this is the amount of alcohol I'd have if I was having, like, a rager as well. Like, I don't think it's the alcohol level.
No, I think it's just
the energy.
Just the energy, yeah.
But I could expend a lot of energy if I...
It's all about the vibrations, baby.
So we're back in Alice's room, you know, just having a bit of a chill out. This is probably the last one we'll record.
Does vibe together derive from vibration?
Probably. Does vibe?
It does.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
How does that work, though?
I think it's just about... I suppose, metaphorically, it's about, you know, like the vibrations.
Good vibrations.
Well, yeah, exactly. You've got the Beach Boys. Yeah, I'm picking up good vibrations.
Actually, yeah, because people say good vibes, right? I feel like that's... Yeah.
Yeah,
another example is
I don't know how recent it is. Shakespeare doesn't talk about vibes.
I think, Shakespeare's like, hark! Doth good vibes.
I think the 99 film Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. It may be in the book. It may not. When you know, to Hunter S. Thompson says, "Our vibrations should turn nasty."
Oh, right.
That's
scary.
That's about vibes as well.
These aren't nasty vibes.
No,
these
no, no.
The vibes in here are nice. We're just all a bit tired.
Oh, yeah. Look, I'm bursting with energy. Yeah.
Why?
What we're gonna do? Sort
are
of,
you actually?
Yeah, I like that you have to verify that.
It's important to me to know.
My eyes feel tired. They would be really close,
my eyes
but
my
are feeling
body
very tired. And my mouth and nose, to an extent, my nose is pretty itchy. And ears, they are all perked up and ready to go. I can run a fucking marathon.
I don't feel great.
I will not. I might have a bath. but this is all for later. What we're going to do is we're going to debut a new segment that hopefully will see us through for a while.
So in the film
Bad Mums 2.
In the film Bad Mums 2. There is a scene in which Catherine Hahn, Kristen Bell, Mila Kunis, they're all making gingerbread houses, and they talk about, you know, maybe later on we should go to the Sky Zone, an indoor trampoline park, which we've discussed before. And Catherine Hahn's character says, I can't go within 50 feet of a Sky Zone, or something to words to that effect. She says she's been banned from Sky Zone.
Fun fact about the Sky Zone is actually the scene of not one but two two montages.
Yeah, that's true.
That is a fun fact. They've got a good Twitter. They go off on Twitter. Really?
But yes, the Sky Zone is a real place, a real trampoline park.
Pun on and Friend Zone.
Oh, man.
Which is pretty lame.
But basically, we thought, you know, on the original Worst Idea, they have these sort of segments in which they sort of theorise about things. And we thought, you know, we want to, each week, one of us will come up with a new reason as to why,
yeah.
as to why Catherine Hahn has been banned from a Sky Zone in a segment we like to call Sky Zone!
At the Sky Zone! Catherine Hahn is doing something at Sky Zone!
Hey, there we go.
Look, you know, that's
we'll
what we're doing is we're playing off an Adele song, and we'll build confidence, we'll add stuff to that, but it's the vibe.
So for this first week, the first week of Sky Zone,
when we speculate why she's banned from the Sky Zone,
Oliver, you're going to come up with the first theory. Ooh, why is Catherine Hahn? Why has she been banned from Sky Zone? What dark things has she done?
Now burst with some theories.
Catherine Hahn, in one of her rare moments of good parenthood, her son, at the age of 8, was digging a massive hole in the back garden. And she didn't get angry. It made quite the mess. But she said, oh, you keep going at that rate, you're going to dig to bloody China.
Yeah.
And so she instilled a sense in her son's mind that this is a feasible thing to achieve.
Mm.
That if you do dig in the ground, you can get to China. And I don't know if that's been fact-checked, but I imagine the Earth's core might get
it. I think that's going to be in the way, isn't it?
I think at and some point,
reasonably,
you know,
hot.
China, geographically large, yes, but it's not opposite everywhere.
That's no, true, that's actually. True.
Where is it opposite?
It's something I've heard in New Zealand.
Yeah, I think it's because it's just
I've heard.
Yeah, I don't think he's saying that. I don't think Oliver's saying he thinks New Zealand is the place. I'm just saying.
But I'm not sure if it's a
saying here. I think they probably do.
I hope it is.
I think
I'm pretty sure it's an American import.
Yeah,
but like, it's not opposite America.
Statistically speaking, 71% of the Earth is covered in water, so you're most likely to just hit ocean.
Yeah, ocean. And
even if you did make it through the escort, that would be a disaster.
Yeah, look, I think we can all agree.
Would flood.
There is no way this guy's getting to China. But it's stuck with him, and now that he's a bit older in his teens, he's really going to make a concerted effort. And Catherine Hahn doesn't have the heart to tell him that it's bullshit, it's just a fucking expression. She's wanting to help him. She's going into Sky Zone and starting up a construction, digging into the earth.
Right, she's digging the hole in Sky Zone.
In Sky Zone.
Right, why did she choose that?
Why did she choose Sky Zone?
Yeah.
You may ask.
Yeah, I do ask that.
You may well ask.
I do well ask, actually.
I may tweak your little nose and tell you the answer.
That'd be fantastic. If you could.
Sky Zone is outside the legal jurisdiction of the rest of the United States. They operate on their own laws. So she's like, you know, she's not in with them, but she knows that she can't actually be prosecuted. Right. And, that, you know, they do that because they get up to all sorts of stuff. She's just like, you know, legally I might have a loophole. Mm. And they're off for, you know, two weeks.
Well, that's actually kind of somewhat backed up in the film because Susan Sarandon, who plays Isis, lights up a joint in the Sky Zone and suffers no consequences.
She is flagrant about it, and nobody comes because Sky Zone is living outside the law.
What a place.
So she's thinking, all right, well, this is probably the best place where I can build the thing. But, you know, Sky Zone has their own...
They've got their own government.
Way of dealing with intruders. What they can do is ban her. They tried to sort of...
Well, that's just one of the things.
They've got several sort of arcane rituals. They tried to sacrifice her and all that stuff. But you know, she's not into that.
She's a tough one.
So they kicked her out. They said, this is a great big hole. And all these workers...
We've had several children fall into this hole.
Actually...
Not only is this place, you know, sure, it's outside the legal jurisdiction of the US. It's a pretty lawless place. Mm. But there are kids here.
People,
but,
let's go straight into a hole.
Let's be reasonable.
By the time they get to the ground, you've dug the trampoline away.
Because that hole was actually turned into the foam pit, which... Kristen Bell would do a double front flip into.
That's some great
continuity.
Her
mother would awkwardly dance into.
Oh, I love that scene more than anyone else. So that's what we're thinking next week, this week, but perhaps there might be a different theory. But I don't know, that one seems to hold up for us now.
Well,
but
we shall see over the next 45 weeks.
Who really knows what Catherine Hahn's got up to?
It's got a lot of evidence backing it up, and that's all I'll say.
I'm all about evidence. I don't go based on vibe.
No.
I hate vibe. If someone says it's a good vibe in here, I get get the hell out. If someone says it's good evidence in here, I go in, and usually it's a crime scene.
Yeah. I walk in, I sort of walk down alleyways, and they say, mate, there's evidence here. I say, well,
shit,
sounds like a good time.
Count me in.
No, sir, this is really a crime scene. You do have to leave. I say, well, I'm just getting started. Look, Alistair's actually going to sleep there. So.
That's untrue. I'm resting my eyes, you know.
I think we should probably call it there.
Nah.
What have you possibly got?
Probably none of this has been coherent. No,
we're smart boys.
It's a vibe.
It's as the great philosopher Future once said,
that's a vibe.
It's a vibe.
Any last words we want to say? Any plugs or anything? Any last messages?
Future's a great guy. I'll say this: Mumble Rap saved my life.
We'll catch you next time.